says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. The King James Version says it like this: from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and violent men take it by force. Now, I may lose more of you than I gain here with this next statement, but listen, if you're looking for some sissy, limp-wristed, no activity, no action, just sit around, talk about our emotions and our feelings, and talk about what somebody did to us 20 years ago kind of church, and we're just going to all sit around, sing kumbaya, holding hands, and doing these things or whatever, listen, you are in the wrong place. You might as well just go find someone, because the scripture that I read and the Bible that I talk about and the Jesus that I see is not some sissified, no action, no guts, no courage, full of fear, just meek, mild-mannered, precious Jesus. You know, no, listen, the Jesus that I see in scripture is a man of action. Listen, when Jesus walks into the temple and sees things not as they are, he starts kicking over tables, turning over chairs, gets a whip. Oh, I didn't know Jesus was like that. Yeah, Jesus got a whip and cracked it on some fools and said, get out of here. This is not what God's house is supposed to be. Oh, I thought Jesus was just this man of peace. Well, he would like peace, but listen, if we're going to serve God, listen. If I'm going to serve God, I cannot have peace with the world. There's going to be some times where I got to say, you know what? I can't do that. I'm not going there. I'm not compromising this. I'm not letting go of that. No, there are some standards. There are some things in scripture that I'm, you know what? And you know what? I might be willing to stand up and fight for that. Come on, somebody. Well, that doesn't sound very Jesus-like. Well, then I suggest getting your gospel and check it out. Because, listen, violent men, the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing. And forceful men. Now, listen, we got to, let's just hang on, pump the brakes a little bit here. All right. I'm getting all worked up. I'm not suggesting that we don fatigues and march out into the streets of Brookville and cock our shotguns and forcefully cause everyone to bow their knee to Jesus. That's not what he's talking about, okay? What he is talking about is an attitude of action, is an attitude of force that says, you know what? I'm not going to let anything hold me back or stop me from getting the things that Jesus and the Word of God has promised that my life is supposed to be about. Amen? That's what we're talking about, okay? So here's what we got to understand. Some people, and I've been guilty of this. Some people, we fall in love with the idea of God doing something big in our lives, but the reality of doing what it takes to allow God to do something big in our lives is not appealing to us. Does that make sense? Okay, it's very easy for me to. I mean, if I said, "Man, I want to see God move and people get saved," I mean, if you have any Jesus in you at all, you're probably going to amen that and say, "Yeah, man, that sounds great. People need Jesus, right?" Amen. Okay, well, who can show up and help us knock on doors and let people know about Jesus? That's for somebody else, not me, right? Now, don't get convicted if you can't be there next Saturday. You're all like, man, if I'm not there, he's going to think I'm not really serious. No, listen, it's all good, all right? Don't worry about it, okay? I'm just using an example here. Amen? Okay? We fall in love with the idea of God doing something big, but if I see that, man, I might have to pray a little bit more than I'm used to. I might have to show up to church a little bit more than I'm used to. I might have to fast a little bit. I may have to shut some things down in my life. There may be some relationships that I have to handle or manage and honestly push back a little bit if I really want to go where God's calling me to go. And so when the rubber meets the road and it's time for us to knock on that door, to go through the door, listen, when I say the door, knocking on the door, to me, I think that means the action part of what we have to do. And this is what we have to understand. Christianity is not simply a belief. Faith is not just something I feel. Faith is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling I get to let me know that everything is going to be okay. Faith is an action. Now, don't get it backwards. Actions do not equal faith. Actions do not equal faith. But faith will never be void of action. Biblical faith, true faith, the faith Jesus talks about. I'm sorry, what did I say? Faith will not be void of action. Did I say that? I heard it in here. I'm not sure if it came out here. Action may not equal faith, because you can be doing the same thing, saying the same thing, but with the wrong motive and the wrong attitude and for the wrong reason, be in a totally different planet than somebody doing the other. You understand what I'm saying? But if I have true faith, that's going to dictate my actions. And then when Jesus says you're going to knock on the door, what he's saying is there's going to be some action involved. There's going to be some movement. There's going to be something I'm going to have to do. All right? We're so guilty. I'm so guilty of praying and just wanting God to move heaven and earth and do it all, and I don't want to do nothing myself. Amen? I want God to fill this place up, but I don't want to go invite anybody. Okay? Just for example here, right? I want God to provide my needs, but I don't want to go get a job. Okay? I want my bills paid, but I don't want to work. All right? Well, there's some actions involved. Amen? I want God to deliver me from my addiction to alcohol, but I don't want to stop going to the bar. Well, something somewhere's got to give. Amen, somebody. How many are picking this up? You picking up what I'm putting down here? All right, thank you. All right. There's some action involved. We can't ever forget that Christianity is action. There's action. There's action. Everyone say action. Okay? So we ask big things, God things. We seek and expect to find it. And then when we come to the door, we've got a knock. Now listen, there's two parts. There's two parts of the knocking, okay, the scripture talks about. We still got that up there, good. Jesus says, I knock and the door will be opened, okay? I do the knocking, God does the opening. Okay, so there's two parts of this knocking thing. My knocking, God opening. Let's look at the knocking for a minute, okay? Here's what I have to understand. Listen, first off, if I'm going to knock on that door, when I'm looking for something and listen, it may not be a door, it may be a decision, maybe a choice, right? God, as I'm seeking, I'm asking God for something, it may come to a crossroads where I have to make a choice, right or left, right? Do I go the way I've been going, or do I turn off and do something different and new, all right? Chances are, if you keep going the same thing and doing the same thing you've been doing, you're probably going to keep getting the same results, right? Listen, let me save you a lot of I just don't know what God wants to do. Listen, if you've been doing the same thing over and over again and you're not happy with those results, chances are God is saying, let's do something else. Try something different. Okay? Here's the deal. When I come to that door, when I come to that crossroads, when I come to that opening, when I come to that moment of decision, it's going to take some guts on my part. It's going to take a little bit of courage. It's going to take a little bit of chutzpah. Going to take a little bit of something, of being willing to step into the unknown, doing something that I maybe be uncomfortable with or doing something new. Does that make sense? Everybody with me so far? And I really felt like saying this to somebody today. And I don't know who this is for, but this is for you, just take it in and receive it. Listen, for somebody in this place today, I mean that, because as I was going over my notes earlier this week and looking at what we were going to be talking about today, I really felt like I needed to tell this to someone. For someone in this place today, fear is the only thing standing between you and you stepping into what God has called for you to do. For someone, fear is literally the only thing that stands between you and everything you've been praying for and asking God to do. It may be fear of going in a new job direction. It may be fear of confronting some issues in a relationship that you haven't wanted confronted. It may be fear of trusting God with more of your finances than you've ever done. I don't know what it could be, but I'm telling you, for somebody in this place, fear is the only thing standing. And if that's you, and if they're like, man, there's some things I've wanted to do, but man, the thing holding me back is just fear. I'm just afraid to step out and do it. I'm just afraid to step out and plug in. I'm just afraid. Listen, here's the great news for that. That simple fix. Guess what? Do you know something? The Bible says that God has not given you or me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So here's what that means. If I'm feeling fearful of something, I know immediately that is not God.
That's right.
Amen. So here's what I've got to decide. I've got to decide, you know what? And I hate watching the enemy work in my life or in the life of a church or in anybody else's life. Man, I can't stand it. And I just have enough hatred, if I will, to the devil that, you know what? I don't care how afraid I may feel. Man, I'm going to do everything I can do and trust God to do everything else that I can't do. I am not going to let the devil win and allow fear to paralyze my life. If it's fear that's stopping me from knocking on that door, if it's fear that's stopping me from turning and going a new direction, if it's fear that's stopping me, you know what? I've just got to swallow that and say, you know what? I'm going to trust God. This isn't from God. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, and I'm going to step out and do what God's called me to do. Listen, how silly, how terrible, man, how I can't fathom standing before God one day and him saying, dude, Justin, would God say, dude? I think he would. Dude, I had all this stuff laid out for you. And all you had to do was knock on that one door, make that one turn, go this one direction. But because you were afraid, you didn't do it. And man, I could have used you to do this, and you could have, all these things. And what am I going to say to him? Well, God, I don't know, God. I was scared. I was scared. What kind of excuse is that? You know what he's going to say to me? Dude. He's going to say it again. Dude. Didn't I tell you that I didn't give you that fear? Amen? Now, listen, I don't think it's going to keep me from heaven. All right? It's not going to keep me from heaven. I'm still going to go to heaven, praise God, because of Jesus. Right? But man, I don't want to go to heaven with a bunch of what ifs. Man, what if I had done that? What if I had got involved? What if I had knocked on that door? What if I had filled out that application? What if I had given that moment when I felt I was supposed to give that X? What could have happened? I don't want to stand before God and him say, man, there's a lot of, and listen, there's going to be those moments in our life. All right? I've got lots of those I'm going to have to answer for. All right? I know you guys don't. You guys all look holier than me, but I got a lot of those I'm going to answer for. Okay? I don't want to answer for any more of them if I can do anything at all about it. Amen? Don't let fear be the only thing that stops you from having the plan of God unfold for your life. Okay? Second, if I'm going to knock, I've got to be persistent in the knocking. Okay? There's some stories that Jesus told that I don't understand. I don't understand why this would happen, but I've just got to take the overall message of it. Okay, Luke 11, 5 through 8. I'm just going to read this. I'm not sure if we have that for the screen or not. Just listen if it's not up there. Luke 11, 5 through 8. Jesus tells this story. He says, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Well, this isn't a very good friend. Hey, thanks a lot, buddy. I appreciate it. You know what I mean? Or maybe this guy was a jerk for knocking on his door at 2 in the morning. I don't know what the deal was, you know? Okay. Anyway, for whatever reason, this friend says, nah, I don't want to. Okay. The door is already locked. What kind of excuse is that? The door is already locked. You know how much time it takes to unlock a door? Like that. I mean, I don't know what kind of door locks they had back then, but I can't imagine it was anything much more. I mean, you know, maybe you lift a rock or something. I don't know. But the door is already locked. What kind of excuse is that? What if I came to your house and I said, hey, can I come get a cup of sugar? I'm baking a cake. I don't have any. Oh, the door's locked. I can't do it. I'll be like, what are you talking about? The door's locked. Okay. Anyway, that's another whole other story. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. Verse 8, he says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Other translations say because of the man's persistence, okay? There's going to be some times that you may knock on a door and you know that it's God's will. There's been times where I knew that something was God, okay? Listen, we knew, my wife and I, we knew we were supposed to move to Brookville and begin to plant this church, Red Life Church. And guess what? To do that, that meant we had to have a place to stay, all right? We could not all live in the minivan. That's just not going to work, all right? Okay, and my mom and dad said, no, you can't live here either. You got too many kids. No, they would have let us live there if we needed to. But I'm just kidding. They would have totally let us live there for a day or two. No, they would have let us live there for as long as needed. I know that. But we was like, man, God, we need a house. Guess what? We knocked on a lot of doors until we found the right house, right? And if you've ever tried to find a house in Brookville, you know, it could be a little tough, especially if you're looking to not get into a long, if you want to rent or, man, it could be a tough, it's a tough little market here, this little town of Brookville sometimes, to find a house. And so we knocked on a lot of doors. And if I would have knocked on the first door, I said, it's not going to work out. It fell through or whatever. I said, well, that's it. God's will. That wasn't God's will. I missed it, right? That's what we do sometimes. We knock on a door, it doesn't open, and we go, oh, well, I missed God. Well, I don't know. You didn't check it out. Did you hear God or not? Well, pretty sure I did. Well, then keep knocking. Knock on another one. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We got to keep knocking until the door's open. We keep kicking. We keep fighting. We keep pressing. We keep persisting. And listen, God's promise. Listen, here's the deal. God's promise is not going to change. He promised, knock and it will be opened. Right? So as I'm asking, seeking, praying, I'm knocking, I know eventually I'm going to knock and the door is going to open. Okay? Some of you may have kids that are away from God, aren't really serving the Lord right now, and you've been praying for them, asking them. You've been asking God about them. You've been asking God to bring them back into relationship with Him, asking Jesus to do something supernatural. And listen, you got to be careful. I'm not saying you don't need to beat them up with a Bible every time you get together for dinner. You don't need to be that guy. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to be that. And sometimes you have to leave room for the Holy Spirit to work. But listen, don't stop knocking on the door when a door presents itself. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Because, I mean, I don't know. Listen, that may be the tipping point. That moment may be the tipping point for someone's life. You understand what I'm saying? Knock one time and it's over. Oh, it wasn't God. Well, you got to be persistent sometimes. Amen? The bottom line is this. God promised that He's going to knock on the door. He's going to open the door. So if I know that I'm at a door, I'm at a moment where it's God's will, this is what God I know is leading me to do, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, then guess what? That's a knocking sound. This is better. We keep knocking. Okay? If that's not the door, and maybe I've bothered you too much, I'm going to find another one, knock on that one until it opens. But I'm going to knock on the door because God's going to open the door. It may not be this one. It may be the one over here. But I'm going to keep knocking on the door until one opens because that's what God's word says. Amen? So we got to be persistent. We can't give up. All right? Third thing about knocking. I've been wanting to get to this part right here. Sometimes you knock on a door and it's absolutely walled shut. Sometimes you knock on a door and there's no way it's open, but you know that God wants you through that, not another door, that door. It's not some other job, it's this one. It's not some other, it's right, this is absolute. And I can't tell you, well, how do I know that? Listen, I can't tell you how you know that. That's between you and the Lord. You have to have a relationship with Jesus and know the Holy Spirit's voice. That's the best I can give you. Read the Word of God daily and His plan will unfold for your life. I feel like I can preach okay and I pray a lot and I know the voice of God for my life, but I cannot tell you the voice of God for your life. Amen? Okay? But if you know that, no, it's this moment, it's today, it's this church, it's this service, it's this moment, it's this door, it's this house, it's this job, then listen, there may come a time when knocking isn't enough and you may have to tear the roof off of a place to get in. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Mark chapter 5, verse 2, 1 through 5, then I'm going to skip to verse 12. So a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that He had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and He preached the word to them. Some men came, so let me set this up here. Jesus comes back home. He's been out preaching, traveling, casting out devils, healing people, dividing the five loaves, doing all kinds of cool Jesus miracles, okay? Comes back home to visit mom and dad, shows up at a house. Hundreds of people flock to this one house, and Jesus preaches the word to them. And this was, listen carefully to what the scripture says. There were so many people in there that you couldn't even get outside the door. So, I mean, this house is just jam-packed. You can't even open. I mean, it's just, you ever walked into a restaurant on Saturday night at dinner time, an Outback or something, and you walk in, you can't even hardly get inside the door. There's people just everywhere. Imagine that. Now multiply it by five or six probably. And that's what's happening here. This is jam-packed, okay? Packed. Can't even knock on the door. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. So four guys carry on a mat, a paralyzed guy. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it. That was a happy homeowner right there, wasn't it? By digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus, watch this, when Jesus saw their faith, how did Jesus see their faith? Because of what they said? How did he see their faith? Because they sang a song? How did he see their faith? Because they showed up on Sunday morning? Come on. How did he see their faith? Because they got up in front of a microphone, in front of a news people and said, oh man, I have just have this great faith. No, they saw their faith because of what they did. What they do. They got to a door that was shut and they knew that Jesus and the miracle for their boy was on the other side. They said, nothing, I mean nothing, is going to stop me from getting to Jesus today. We're not waiting until tomorrow. We're not waiting until next Sunday. We're not waiting until Jesus comes back this way again. Today is his moment. And so they climbed up on the roof, ripped the roof off, and lowered the guy down. And when Jesus, watch this, when Jesus saw the actions that they were willing to put behind their faith, he said, that's faith right there. That's the real deal right there. And he said to the paralyzed man, I'm back to the scripture, son, your sins are forgiven. Now skip to verse 12. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Now imagine this man. This man's paralyzed, maybe from birth, probably for some time, we can assume. Okay? This guy's been praying, this guy's been asking, this guy's been seeking. He's heard about Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, who's been doing all these crazy things. And somewhere along his mind, he thought to himself, boy, if Jesus ever comes back this way again, I know if I get in front of Jesus, I'm going to be healed. His friends start saying, man, dude, if Jesus comes, when Jesus comes back this way, we are taking you to the meeting. You're going to hear the word. Man, God's going to heal you, right? Imagine their disappointment. I mean, we're just human, right? You've been hyping this up. You've been praying. You've been seeking. You've been waiting for Jesus to come back to your town. And how many ever carried dead weight before? A dead weighted person. That's a lot. They carry him on four. They carry him on a mat. Okay, carry him on a mat with flip flops through dirty roads full of horse poop and just nastiness, right? They carry him to the town. They carry him to the house. They get there. We're too late. Should have left a half hour earlier. Somebody was saying, dude, if you hadn't stopped to go to the bathroom, we'd have been there on time, right? Okay. We're too late. We missed it. Oh, gosh. Missed it. How many ever felt that in your life? Man, I missed my chance. I missed my opportunity. I have to go to another restaurant. I have to find something else. I blew it. Messed up. No, that's not what these guys do. I mean, it almost seems seamless. It almost seems seamless. I love to hear that conversation. You know, four guys, man, we can't get in. Well, John, what do you want to do? Well, I saw some shovels around back. I bet we get them on the roof. Now imagine what's involved here. Imagine what's involved here. Not only do they have to find some tools or a way to do the work of digging through a roof, but then they have to pick their friend up and get him on the roof. And then, now here's where here's the faith right here. Yeah, I'm going to trust you to lower me through this roof on whatever. I mean, either they had rope with them or they found some rope, you know, and they shimmied it up. How many ever watched like Man vs. Wild or Dual Survival, you know, survival shows, and these guys, you know, they find a piece of twine and they braid it together and make a rope and they rappel, you know, 60 feet down a cliff. I'm like, dude, I'm not rappelling off no cliff that you rigged up from a couple of banana pine cones or whatever you did. I don't know. But the banana pine cones, that doesn't exist. But anyway. I mean, there's a lot of working parts going on here in these guys' faith, right? Right? Let me just point out a couple things I want to mention about this. Okay. Number one, in verse 12, the Bible says the people were amazed, said, we never seen anything like this. Now, initially, I used to read that and think, well, yeah, they never seen anybody get healed like that. But wait, that can't be true, right? They're crowding around Jesus solely because he's healing people. In fact, if you look at the story in the Gospel of Luke, and I believe in the Gospel of Matthew, you'll see that it says specifically that the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal. So what was amazing to these people was not the fact that this man was healed, right? Because they've been watching that happen. They've been hearing about that happen. That's amazing in and of itself, but that's not the amazing part of this story, okay? Jesus is there healing all kinds of people today. That's why there's so many people showing up, because people are being healed, and Jesus is healing sickness. So when it says, we've never seen anything like this before, it's not the healing that they had never seen anything like before. What they had never seen was someone's persistence in faith that refused to not get healed. And I wish to God, well, I had a church full, we had some people, some believers, that would say, you know what? I refuse not to get healed today. I refuse to not allow God to move in a great way in this church service this morning. I refuse to allow today to be just like that. I refuse to allow the things of God not to be evident and realized and realistic in my life. Come on, somebody. We need some people to say, you know what? I'll pray to God that we get so stirred up here at Red Light that we knock on doors in such a way that we tear roofs off if necessary in the spirit, that people say, man, I've never seen a crazy bunch of Jesus people like that before. I've never seen people so passionate in worship. I've never seen people so persistent in their faith. I've never seen people get so crazy for God before. Amen. Listen, and that blew their minds. Amen. Hallelujah. The second thing that blows me away is that, no, will you help? Can you help me for 2 seconds? I don't want to be honest. Well, you haven't. You come here real quick. I need you to trust me for a minute, okay? Trust me. I got this. Come here. I'm sorry. Okay. Here's what else we got to be. Trust me. He's like, I don't know yet. It's going to be all good. What blows me away here is that it may not have even been this guy that was paralyzed that was pushing the action. But he had some wild, crazy friends. How many know we got? I need some friends like that once in a while. Amen. Praise God. I hope that I'm the friend more often than I'm the paralyzed guy. But listen, here's the deal. At times in our life, we're both. There's going to be some times I'm paralyzed and can't move forward, and I need a friend to pick me up and say, hey, dude, you can't get there yourself? I got you. What's up? You can't go to church today? I'm going to pick you up on my back and take you if you can't go. You can't move forward in your walk with God? I'm going to pick you up and carry you if I've got to, but because I'm your boy, because I love you, and because I'm your friend, I refuse to allow you to stay here paralyzed wherever you got to go. If you can't get there yourself, I'm carrying you there, and when we get there, you can sit down. When we get there, if I've got to dig a hole in the roof to get you to Jesus, if I've got to kick a door down, if I've got to blow a wall up, I'm going to get you where you need to be. Come on, praise God, somebody. That's the attitude we need to have in the body of Christ and in our church. I'm not going to just step over you paralyzed on the road, man. I'll pick you up and take you with me if I have to. Come on, somebody. Because I promise you, there will be a time in my life where I need somebody to pick me up. I say, man, I just can't do it. I just can't drag myself up today. I'll pick you up, brother. Amen? Knock with faith, with boldness. Tear the roof off if we have to. Yet, if you'd come up and begin to play softly. You know what it means when a preacher has the musicians come back up? Nothing. I know. You all were like, it means you're almost done. Nope, it means nothing at all. Got ya. Listen. I hope I hope if I asked you the question, do you want God to open his doors to your life for his plan? I hope we'd all say yes. Surely we'd all say yes. I mean, really, if you say no, we need to talk afterwards because you got a problem. We need to figure it out, and I'll help you figure it out if we can. Surely we'd all say yes to that. So I'm going to assume for the next few minutes that we would all say yes to that question. Yes, I want God's plan for my life. If God has a great plan for my life, absolutely I want it. If God has a plan to bless me, that's what his word says, Jeremiah 29:11, plans to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me a future and a hope. If that's what, yes, I want that. Why would I not want that? I would be an idiot to not want that, okay? But listen to this. If I want God to open up his plan to me, listen, who was it that said, is that one of Newton's laws? For every action, there's a reaction, right? And there's kind of that in the kingdom of God. If I want God to do something in my life, there's usually something that's required of me in my life. Amen? And here's what it is. Listen, Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Listen, it's not just enough just to knock, but there has to be some knocking with an obedient, submitted heart on my part, okay? I mean, I could just go knock on every door and go, oh, this is God. But it has to be done with a little bit of obedience, some submission, saying, God, I want to knock on the doors that you lead me to knock on. Amen? And Lord, when you lead me to knock on a door that makes me uncomfortable, I'm going to knock on it anyway. If you lead me to make a decision that makes me feel uneasy, I'm going to do that anyway. Obedience. Amen? Here's what you have to understand about God and the kingdom of God, okay? God, not that he's not able to, but the laws that he has put into his kingdom, he will not bless me beyond my last point of disobedience. Does that make sense? God will not bless me beyond my last point of disobedience, okay? What I mean is, if there's something in my life that God has been dealing with me about, and I refuse to move on it. I refuse to deal with it. I refuse to repent. I refuse to get something out of my life. Or I refuse to, whatever it may be. And listen. It could be, don't think of, oh, sex, drugs, you know, rock and roll, violence, all that stuff. Well, yeah, you know, that's duh. Yeah, we should get that out of our life as believers. Amen. It could be bitterness I'm holding against someone. Could be unforgiveness. Okay, I shared this with our launch team a few weeks ago. There was a situation a few months ago where someone that I was very close to hurt me very deeply. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but man, I was hurt. And because I'm a man, when I'm hurt, I'm ticked, right? I'm not going to cry. I want to fight. I mean, like I said, you guys are holier than me. I'm hurting, but that hurt manifests itself as anger. And I want to go stand toe-to-toe with somebody, right? It was actually just a few months ago, man. I'd said, yeah, I forgive him, yeah, I let it go. But every time that person's name got mentioned or every time I thought about him, here's what happens. You've done this. Every time that person's name mentioned who offended you or hurt you, all of a sudden you begin to replay the scenario in your mind and you begin to think of all the things that you should have said to him, right? You begin to think of all the ways you should have told him off, and then you begin to imagine situations where you're back in that situation again, and you, boy, if I see him again, I'm going to tell him what's what, right? I'm telling you, I was sitting out in the woods one day and I was reading a scripture that dealt with forgiveness, and man, I mean, the Holy Spirit just came on me like a ton of bricks. And really, basically, I'm not like an audible voice from heaven, but God told me in my heart, he said, if you don't let this go, I'm not going to bless you. Amen. So listen, it doesn't have to be some gross, it's just what anything that God is asking me to do that I refuse to do is sin. If God tells me to put on blue socks and I put on black socks, that's a sin. I don't think God cares about socks I wear, but I don't know, he might one day, I don't know. Right? So, if there's something I'm dealing with, or that God's dealing with me about, rather than I refuse to let him do it, guess what happens? 9 times out of 10, God's blessings, the heaven will shut over my life. Okay? Until I let God do what he wants to do in that moment. Does that make sense? So if I want, listen, said all that to say, if I want God to open up doors for my life, I've got to open up the door of my heart to him in every situation. Okay? Look at this scripture. Luke chapter 12. It says, be dressed, ready for service. Keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. They can immediately open the door for him. Jesus says, listen, I want your life. I want your life as a believer, as a child of God, as a son, as a daughter of God, to be like this. When you hear me knock, you open up instantly and say, what do you need? Lord, what do you ask me to do? God, what do you want me to do? Amen? Let me read another scripture. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus is speaking through the apostle John to the churches, and he says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Everyone stand all over this building today, if you would. If it feels like in my life, every door that I knock on is closed, and I've persisted, I've prayed, I know I'm in the will of God, I know I'm doing what God's asked me to do, I know this is the plan of God, I know it, I feel it, he's spoken it to me, whatever, however you discern that, and I'm persistent, I'm not giving up, but everything is closed, then what I need to do is go back to my prayer closet and say, Lord, is there a door in my heart that I've closed to you? Because when I close myself off from him, the doors to what he has begin to close up. Does that make sense? Listen, it's not because God's a jerk. It's not because God is like, well, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm not going to love you or anything. Listen, here's the deal. Whatever's through that door, let me say it this way. God can open a door and get me somewhere, but my character will keep me there. Amen? God can open up a door and promote me to the top CEO of my company, right? But if I don't have the character of a submitted heart to God, listen, I'm not going to be able to stay there. And so God in his wisdom and in his mercy, it doesn't look like mercy, it looks like he's being mean. But in his mercy and grace says, listen, I'm not going to open up a door for you that you're not ready to walk through. Amen. And I know you're ready to walk through it when you open up your heart to whatever I ask you to do. Amen. That's the deal. And when he finds someone who's submitted and says, God, when you knock, I'm going to open up. No matter what you want to deal with, you may want to deal with things from my past. There may be things I need to forgive. You may want to deal with some addictions that I'm not wanting to realize are addictions or whatever it could be. Yes, Lord. This is the problem. He says, when you open up, I'm going to come in and sup with you. I'm going to eat with you. I'm going to hang out with you. We're going to deal with this stuff. Right? But when I open up to him, he opens up to me. Amen. Close your eyes with me all over this place if you would. As the band is playing softly, and let's just take just a moment. I know I've talked a lot today. Let's just take a moment and just get quiet before the Lord for a minute before we close and we open these altars up for prayer. We're going to do that in just a moment. Just take a moment and just reflect for a second. Just take a minute and be honest with ourselves. Be honest before God. Listen, you don't owe me anything. You don't owe anybody in here any explanations or anything like that. Listen, between you and the Lord, just ask him for a minute, Lord, is there any place in my life that I'm closing up to you? Is there something I need to get a hold of? Is there something that you're asking me to deal with? Is there someone I need to talk to that I'm refusing? Is there forgiveness that I'm withholding? Is there sin? Sin that is obviously sin that I'm just refusing to deal with in my life. Lord, show me those areas. Holy Spirit, I pray right now you begin to speak to hearts. Holy Spirit, I pray right now you begin to speak to hearts. Lord, I pray for that person right now that you spoke to me about, God, that was just dealing with fear, and that fear was the only thing between them and your plan for their life. Holy Spirit, I pray, God, your strength, your courage, your faith begin to rise up in them right now. I speak faith and encouragement right now to just rise up inside of their soul. Lord, let them know that you are for them and not against them. Lord, let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Holy Spirit, that you are with them, that you are leading them, guiding them every step of the way. Lord, let that word that says you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind in 2 Timothy 1:7. Lord, let that begin to be real to them, Lord. Lord, I pray that they begin to feel your faith rising up in them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, let us stay open to you in everything you lead us to do. Let us stay open to you, Lord, in everything that you're leading us to do. With every head bowed, every eye closed, listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to force you to come down front and tell us your name and air all your dirty laundry in front of everyone. I give you my word, I will not do that. Okay? If you're in this place today and the Lord is knocking on your heart, listen. The first thing that the Lord is going to do before he deals with any of our mess, any of our bitterness, unforgiveness, any of our hurts, any of our pain, any of our past, the first thing that has to happen, the first area that we have to open up to him is in the area that deals with salvation, is in the area of dealing with who we say Jesus is. I would just ask you this, every one of you in this place, Jesus may be dealing with somebody. I'm looking around the room. I feel like this may not apply to everybody, and I think most of us in this room are probably believers and saved. I'm just guessing. If I had to bet on it, I'd bet that we probably are. Maybe all of us. I don't know. But I don't want to preach without giving someone the opportunity because I never know. The Holy Spirit may be dealing with you. And Jesus is knocking saying, I want to come and be the Lord of your life. That's the first door that has to be open. That's the first door that has to be open. See, what does that mean, be the Lord of my life? It means this. It means we recognize, we understand, and we believe and receive the fact that Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. Just a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating Easter, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it was a real event. It really happened 2,000 years ago. A perfect man, Jesus, walked this earth for 33 and a half years, never sinned, never lied, never stole, never disobeyed his parents, never did anything wrong. And yet he was accused. He was called a liar. He was called profane. They said that he lied and mocked God, and he was God. Imagine God being called a mocker of God, and he is God. How crazy. And the Bible says that Jesus allowed himself to be taken captive, to be taken prisoner. He allowed himself to be tied to a post and beaten like a dog. And the Bible says that he was beaten until he was barely recognizable as a man. Then he allowed himself to be placed on a wooden beam and nails to be driven into his hands and feet. And he was hoisted up on that cross for the world to see until he gave his last breath. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews around chapter 12 that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He endured the beating, the nails, he endured the mockery, the pain for the joy that was set before him. What was the joy that was set before him? It was you and me. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus, as he was hanging on the cross, was allowed to glimpse to this moment right now, to my life and your life, and see Justin Bradley and Brian Hammond and James Edwards. And he was able to see, and every painful breath that he took was able to be done because he saw you and me and said, I'm doing it for them. I'm doing it for them. I'm doing it not just for them. I'm doing it for him. I'm doing it for her. And so the first thing that Jesus wants to do when he knocks It's for us to open up and say, Lord, I believe you did that for me. Lord, I accept the sacrifice that you did, that you made for me. And when I say make him the Lord of your life, that means, Lord, because you did that for me, you can be the master. You can be my master. You're the boss. That's really what it means. Lord, you're the boss. I'm not. I'm going to do it your way, not my way. If you're in this place this morning and you feel something knocking on your heart, could be Jesus. It probably is. And you may be saying, I need to be the Lord of your life. I'm not the boss. You are. Let me be the boss for a change. If that's you, we need to make that decision. You need to make that commitment today. I'm just going to ask you in just a moment, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. And nobody looking around between you and the Lord. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. But if that's you, say, man, I need to make him the Lord of my life today. Would you right now where you stand, just lift your hand. Just lift your hand. Say, man, I want to receive that. I need to receive that for my life. I need to receive his sacrifice for my life. Amen. Amen. And here's what's going to happen in just a moment. The worship team's going to sing. I'm going to pray and close this service. But as we begin to sing, altar workers are going to come down front. Listen, if you need prayer in your life for anything at all, if you're that person that the Lord was dealing with about fear, if you're that person that the Lord is dealing with about fear, will you please let me know? Because I just can't get away from that. I know that's for somebody today. If you're too embarrassed to let me know face-to-face here before you leave, shoot me an email or a message on Facebook, please. I want to know what the Lord is doing in your life. Because I know that was from him. And if you need prayer in that area, come meet one of these altar workers that's going to be down front here in just a moment. Allow them to pray with you. If you need prayer for any area of your life at all, maybe there's a door you need the faith to knock on. Maybe you're trying to figure some things out. Get prayer. The Bible says that we agree in prayer. When we agree in prayer, when two believers agree and touch on anything on this earth, the Bible says it's done in heaven. So let someone agree with you in prayer today. Amen? If you raise your hand to have him the Lord of your life, I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. I want to encourage you to come and get prayer. Let them know, hey, man, that was me. I asked him to be my Lord today. And they're going to help you pray. Amen? Amen? I want everybody in this place to pray this out loud with your ears so that you can hear it with your own ears. We're going to make him Lord. You maybe didn't raise your hand. You need to pray this. You pray this and mean in your heart. Just the same. Everybody pray this with me. Say, Lord,
Lord,
come to you right now. Just like I am, I'm a sinner. I've made mistakes and I've messed up. But you're the Son of God. You died on the cross and you rose again and you did it for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. Come live inside my heart. Be the boss. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, make that real. Make that real. Lord, your word says in Romans 8 that you will bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Make it real. Make it plain right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, for everyone that you give us the boldness and the faith to knock on every door that we need to knock on. Lord, if we get to a door that we know is from you and it seems like it's closed, give us the boldness, give us the forcefulness of heart and of faith and of courage to tear the roof off if necessary.